Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
According to polls, there are still a large number of undecided voters in New Hampshire, as we've heard and as we've reported, and they'll have a lot to say about tomorrow's primary results.
And to get a sense of what they're wrestling with as they prepare to head to the polls, we're joined by three New Hampshire voters now. They are undecided or maybe very close to making up their minds. Don Byrne is a software executive from Bedford. Mr. Byrne, welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Sean Mamone is a firefighter from Mount Vernon. Welcome to you, Mr. Mamone.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And Sid Glasner, an educator from Exeter. Great to have you as well.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Don Byrne, let me just start with you. Have you made up your mind on who you're going to vote for tomorrow?
I have, and I'm leaning very heavily to John Huntsman. I have, in the past week, taken a second look at Newt Gingrich.
Huntsman versus Gingrich. Now, why is it that Huntsman hasn't sealed the deal with you yet?
A little bit of question about how to use our vote in this. I think New Hampshire citizens take very seriously what we do. And so am I voting to help eliminate people? Am I voting for people, against people, strategically, tactically? I'm really wrestling with that issue. Mm.
Sean, what about you?
Heavily towards John Huntsman. Newt was there a couple weeks ago. He picked up an endorsement, a key endorsement from the speaker, and I decided right there. I had some reservations about the speaker and got away from Newt and started looking at John. I was told about a month and a half ago, look at John. Look at his resume. Look at where he's been. Look at what he's done. The administrators, he's worked with two Bush administrations. He's worked with the Obama administration and his foreign affairs. So I'm looking heavily at John right now.
But he still hasn't sealed the deal with you either. Do you have the same worries that Don does, that it would be a vote, quote-unquote, wasted maybe?
The other vote, the other possible vote is, of course, Romney. But everyone has a concern about the economy. We have to look a little bit beyond the economy. We have to look at our international affairs. And when it comes down, if I look at both of those candidates, I'm looking towards more John Huntsman.
Hmm. Sid Glasner, what about you? Do you have some favorites emerging in the pack?
I probably do have some favorites, but I haven't really made up my mind yet. I guess, voting is not a very objective kind of activity. And I look at it through the prism of an educator. Unfortunately, what has happened in this election, that there's been no substantive discussions about public education, and I'm really concerned about that. There's only been a few comments about doing away with the Federal Department of Education, which is okay with me at this point. However, nobody has really delved in the media to really search, really get these people to say what they really mean about public education. And also, with another topic which hasn't been addressed is poverty. Mm-hmm. And the two of them have a very distinct linkage in our society, and we've sort of avoided that. So I don't know where I am at this particular moment, but I think maybe Huntsman or Romney, but I have to make a guess at that, at which one would perform best in terms of moving public education into the place where it should be.
I want to just ask all three of you really quickly where you voted 4 years ago. I know I spoke to you last night, Sid Glasner. You said you voted for Obama
four years ago.
Right,
ago.
And
yes,
now you're
I
thinking
did.
Republican.
Terribly disappointed, and I think he's taking education down a terrible path.
And what about you, Sean?
McCain.
And you, Don? So
Obama.
We've got okay, good. So we've got two Obama voters who are moving toward Republican. And Sid, just to follow up with you, you told me last night that you were possibly leaning, and you just said it now, toward Romney. I'm curious if you can explain this sort of lack of passion, even though there's a big lead that he's enjoying in this state. There is this sort of lack of passion for him. How do you explain where that comes from?
I feel the same. I feel he's not connecting with me, basically. And as you were discussing before with your other guest, perhaps it's the thing that's on the horizon the most is the fact of electability. So if I do go for Romney, it's only because I think there's a chance of him being electable and giving Obama a decent fight. And I don't know what he would do with education, whether he would do away with No Child Left Behind, well, with the well, how he would reauthorize the ESEA Act. I don't know what he'd do, but it would be have to be a guess, like a lot of votes are.
Sean and Don, your thoughts about this, people being emotionally cool to former Governor Romney? I mean, do you feel that same ambivalence?
I certainly do. I find it hard to connect with him. What I've seen is when he's been in various venues, people ask direct questions. He doesn't give direct answers. He gives excerpts from his stump speech. So I'm not sure he's really thoughtfully considering what people are looking to get from him. And I think the reason I'm somewhat undecided coming to the end is more information comes out at the very end when there are charges and countercharges. I actually like a little bit the negative advertising because, you know, asked and answered kind of things come out of this. So it really it's much more informative. And I think the information becomes much more intensive in the end. So I'm holding out at the end. I want to learn as much as I can to make the right decision.
The direct answer is what a lot of voters, I think, are looking for. And, you know, dodging or going around or skirting the answer is not what we want. We want a direct answer. Things are going to change over a period of time, but answer the question. And you hear that more and more, it seems like.
Gentlemen, if I may ask you, one of the reasons why we were so delighted that you would be you were willing to join us today is because I think for people who are not from New Hampshire, who don't live here, there's a real sense of puzzlement as to how at the 11th hour with polls opening tomorrow morning, anybody in New Hampshire could still be undecided because nobody gets as much attention in terms of individual voters in the country as much as New Hampshire voters do from the candidates themselves. I mean, I in the town hall meetings that Anthony and I have attended in the past several days and in Anthony's case, weeks, you really get a sense. I mean, voters get to ask anything they want and they get to hold the candidates to account right then and there. So with that kind of exposure, that kind of intimacy, why is it that you still think you're not hearing what you need to hear to know who you're going to cast your ballot for?
Well, in my case, it's basically that there hasn't been a decent discussion about public education. Nobody has brought it up. We're so focused on jobs, and that's okay. That's really where we should be. But we can't ignore how we are educating our children. And each candidate says and talks about education and says, oh, yeah, it's very important. But none of them have really gone into it. Mm-hmm. And we each look at voting, I think, through our own personal prism. And if we don't educate our children properly and get started on that, we're going nowhere.
This is also a very compressed process. Our friends in Florida decided to move up their election. That compressed the entire thing. We normally would have more time to be thoughtful, meet with people, discuss, have conversations with them. And now everything's compressed between Iowa and us into a short week.
That's Don Byrne. He's a software executive from Bedford. We're also talking to Sean Mamone, a firefighter from Mount Vernon, and Sid Glassner, an educator from Exeter. And we're trying to get a sense of what makes the New Hampshire voter tick and which way they're going, which way they're leaning. Ahead of tomorrow's primary. Don, let me stick with you for a moment. Sid Glassner's been talking about the importance of education, that he really wants to hear a candidate talk about education. What are the sort of top two or three issues on your list that you want to hear a candidate talk about and satisfy you on?
Well, I did hear John Huntsman talk about education. Mm-hmm. I actually asked him the question, what are the things that we could learn from China, as opposed to sort of taking a negative?
And as a former ambassador, of course, he'd have something to say about that.
And one of those, you know, his two key comments were, you know, be somewhat strategic in your policies and focus on education. So he actually did put a very strong emphasis on that. From my standpoint, I think certainly the economy is a top issue. And how you implement that, how you bring about jobs, is it through a renaissance in manufacturing, as John Huntsman's been talking about? Is it a revitalized space program and scientific initiative, as Gingrich has been talking about? On the other hand, when I hear people like Santorum talking about everybody needs a Jesus candidate, that really turns me off, okay, because I have a lot of friends who don't need a Jesus candidate. When I hear people talking about gay marriage and they want to be in the bedroom, turns me off quite a lot.
What about the front runner, the front runner's case as a turnaround artist, an accomplished businessman? He knows how to make jobs because he's worked successfully in the private sector. Is that an argument that resonates with any one of you?
It certainly does with me. I used to be in the venture capital business, so I know of him and I know what he's done, and I've done four turnarounds myself. So if anything, that's his long suit. Now, is he going to be effective? Is he going to be able to? I mean, a lot of these people are promising all these aspirational things. You know, we're going to cut $1 trillion out of the budget the first year. We're going to eliminate all these departments. I don't believe that. The thing that promotes Gingrich is the thing that's against them. He's an insider. He can probably get things done. When I hear Huntsman talk, he talks about practical step-by-step activities. Some of the other people there are so grandiose in their plans, I just don't believe them.
Yeah, what about you, Sean?
John Huntsman, the job growth that he created in Utah, the tax structures that he turned around in Utah, that goes a long way. You know, can he bring it to the federal level? You know, economy is top of everyone's list. I'm not hearing when I think of Mitt Romney, I'm not hearing a whole lot of talk about the Middle East. You know, Newt, yes, John Huntsman, you hear about foreign affairs, and they both have the background. But when it comes to Newt, Mitt, I'm just not hearing it.
Yeah, and Sid, what about you?
Well, I think the primaries are a different genre from an election or from governing. They make all kinds of claims to us in primaries, and then when they're elected, things change completely because they have to do something else, not run for office but govern. And how they govern and how they get along, it's one of the reasons that perhaps I'm leaning maybe to I could accept Romney, because I think he governed in a state which is a Democratic state, and perhaps he can come to Washington and do something in terms of melding the two parties to get this country going. So I look at it that way, and two distinct genres in terms of our social institutions.
You know, gentlemen, I've heard all of you say in various formats that one of the core things you're wrestling with is something that a lot of undecided voters are wrestling with, and that is, of course, the issue of electability versus whether or not you fully support the individual policies of these candidates. Now, at the end of the day, I wonder, ultimately, how important is electability to you, whereas in a place like New Hampshire, maybe you could actually put forth a candidate. It looks like, according to all the polls, Mitt Romney still has a commanding lead. But why not cast your vote for someone whose policies you believe in that may, you know, make the race a little more substantive in later primaries?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's no candidate that's 99% pure and that I agree with everything that they say. There are parts that I agree with. Even I agree with some of what Ron Paul says. I agree with something that Romney says, and I agree with Huntsman. I don't agree with much with Santorum, but those three I can take pieces. If I could take a piece from each and put it together and create my own candidate, I would be very delighted.
We're running out of time, so I want to be sure you get a chance to say it.
In terms of name recognition, I believe, you know, obviously, Newt Gingrich, Mitt Romney, I think they have much larger name recognition across the country, so their electability is probably greater. I am looking at the policies, and that's why I'm looking at maybe those candidates that maybe finished 2, 3, and 4 down the line.
And that's why I said in the beginning, do I vote for or against somebody? I'm wrestling with the exact issue you've brought up.
Well, you've got just hours to go now. Hopefully you'll have your minds made up by the time tomorrow morning rolls around. But Don Byrne, a software executive from Bedford, such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you as well.
And Sean Mamone, a firefighter from Mount Vernon, thank you again for coming in.
Thank you.
And Sid Glassner, an educator from Exeter, also a pleasure
thank
to speak
you.
With
thank
you,
you for listening.
Today.
Thank you all very much, gentlemen. On tomorrow's show, Meghna's back in Boston. I'll be here as New Hampshire voters line up at the polls. We'll hear from the Tea Partier who was recently ousted as head of the Granite State's GOP.
Also, it's back to normal business for part of Radio Boston on Tuesday. We'll have our Common Health segment. Scientists used to think that normal cognitive decline started around age 60, but new research indicates that it may begin as early as 45, or 36 in my case, after a weekend covering New Hampshire politics.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.